Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hosea, the 14th chapter. Hosea chapter 14, the last chapter of this book. In your Schofield Reference Bible, turn to page 929. We'll read the first seven verses of this passage. Verses 1 through 7 of this 14th chapter. We'll read the verses responsively. The text verse is the fourth verse. And may we please stand, all of us standing, as is our custom to do. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto the Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. And let's read together verse 7, please. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. And let's pray. Father, we certainly find it a pleasurable thing to be here. We have enjoyed the service immensely already. Thank you for the fellowship, for the blessing, for the songs, and now for the preaching. We pray for thy help, thy blessing, thy Spirit's power upon preacher and upon each and every member and guest. Meet with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning from one of the verses read a while ago. The Lord says, I will love them freely. I want to speak on the subject, God loves us freely. Our Heavenly Father, thou hast a purpose for this service. We come once again to look at the love of God from a new angle, to receive a new hue therefrom. Give us of thy presence for these moments, please. Amen. No messages or series of messages on the love of God would be complete without at least making some reference to that most beautiful figure speech of the love of God in the entire Bible, that beautiful story of Hosea. And nobody could ever do justice to the love of God as it's presented in the Bible without making some reference to the book of Hosea. It is difficult for a more developed mind to communicate with one less mature. For example, it's difficult for a teenager and a child to communicate with each other. If you've ever had in your house at the same time a child and a teenager, you know that the Vietnam War was mild in comparison. It's difficult for an adult and a child. And God knows it's impossible for an adult and a teenager to ever understand each other because adults are so dumb. But it's always difficult for one who is more mature and whose mind is more developed to properly communicate his feelings to a younger, less mature mind. I remember years ago when I went over to the beginner department for some reason. And at that time, the beginner department, I think, was about where Junior 1 is now. I'm not sure, but that's in the beginner department. No, it was, I think it was where one of the nurseries is now. But anyway, I went over, and I started off, and I said to the little boys and girls, about 4 or 5 years old, I said, who am I? Do you know who I am? Yeah. And I said, who am I? And out of the clear blue sky, one little boy with eyes as wide as could be said, don't you know? Years ago, when I was pastoring in East Texas in a little country church, a Sunday school teacher of little children said, boys and girls, who baptized Jesus? And they all said, John the Baptist did. Then the teacher said, all right, who baptized John the Baptist? And the class was quiet until one little boy threw his hand up like he used to do in school and said, I know. She said, who baptized John the Baptist, sonny boy? He said, Brother Hiles did. I have a good friend, Dr. Stevens, who pastored for many years the church in Winston-Salem, the Salem Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Dr. Stevens is about 90 years of age. He pastored. He got almost 90. And that's unusual for a fellow to pastor well up into his near 90. Little boy of his church, just as serious as could be, came one day and said, Dr. Stevens said, was you in the ark? And he was serious. And Dr. Stevens said, well, of course, son, I was not in the ark. He said, why didn't you drown then? It is so difficult for... for minds on a different level to communicate with each other. Our ideas of time, all of our ideas are so different. Rare and wonderful are those of that rare breed who are adults who can relate to little children. How we ought to thank God that God has given us here at First Baptist a wonderful army of people who can take our little children and teach them and relate to them and know their own minds and even get to their own level. Can you imagine then the dilemma of God when he tries to relate and explain his love to man? Can you imagine the futility of it all as God in the only perfect mind tries to tell us of his love? He is limited in so doing to human love, comparing divine love with the love of humanity. To what shall God liken his love? There's nothing in the world. There's no relationship in the world that can tell us even closely what the love of God really is. And God seems to exhaust himself in an attempt to show us of his love by comparing that love to human relationships. For example, he likens his love. He says, I love you as a father loves a child. But that does not completely show, or doesn't even come close to showing the love of God. So he says, I love you as a mother loves a child. And still, the heart of God is frustrated, and God faces the same dilemma that he faced before, because that does not even come close to describing or measuring the marvelous love of God for us. So he chooses the relationship of a nurse and a patient, and then a shepherd and a lamb, and then a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and then a friend and a friend, trying to somehow place his love in vocabulary that we can understand, so we can comprehend in some way, some minute way, a little fraction of God's love for mankind. But God continues, and forgive me, making God unable. But there's no way that God can show us. It's not that God has no way to show us. It's we have no receiver by which to understand the marvelous love of God. And so God chooses a friend and a friend. And then a servant and a master. And then an older brother and a younger brother. All of these relationships, God likens himself
to our master. We're his servant. He likens him to our older brother. We're his younger brother. He likens himself to our father. We're his children. He likens himself to our mother. We're his children. He likens himself to a shepherd and his sheep, or a boyfriend and a girlfriend, trying to get all of us to understand in some way a little bit of the love of God that he has for us. He uses a fiancé and a fiancé, and a bride and a groom, and a husband and a wife, and a husbandman and a tree and a gardener and a flower. He tries some way to say I love you, but there's no way. There's no interpreter. There's nobody can come who understands the vocabulary in the heart of God and who understands the vocabulary in the mind of man to say, this is what God is saying. And so God completely exhausts himself trying to say, I love you, and this is how much. But we'll never know how much. We don't understand the language of God. But perhaps the best example and the closest that God ever comes to describing to us his love is in this marvelous little book of Hosea. It is not unfamiliar territory for us, and so I will not belabor you with a long sermon about Hosea, nor will I be too repetitious. Simply tell the story. Listen carefully. Hosea was a young man. One day, his eyes focused upon a young woman. He liked what he saw and soon began to court her. Her name was Gomer. Hosea and Gomer were seemingly made for each other. Courtship became attraction. Attraction became love. Love became engagement, and engagement became marriage. They married. In the process of time, God gave them a little boy. Sometime later, a little girl was born to their union. And sometime later, a third child, a little boy, came. And now, here's Hosea and his beautiful wife, Gomer, and their two boys and their girl living in a happy home. One day, the news came that Gomer, the young wife and young mother, had gone into deep sin. Immorality came, and a more immorality came. And then one day, Gomer said to Hosea, her husband, and to their three children, Loami, Loruhamah, and Jezreel, she said, your mother is leaving. And this mother, Gomer, left her husband and her three children, deserting them, and goes into sin. She becomes a prostitute. Man after man after man, she sells that precious possession for money, knows no decency, knows no purity, she knows no principles, she knows no morality, sells herself. I don't know of anything any cheaper, any lower than for a woman to sell her body for gain. Her oldest son goes to her and says, Mama, come home. Come home, Mama. Come home to Daddy and the children. She looks in the face of her oldest son and says, your mother's chosen her way of life. The daughter goes, the middle child, and she says, Mother, come home to us. Please, we love you. We want you back home. And this prostitute, call girl, woman of the streets, if you will, she says, no, I've made my choice. The baby goes, the youngest boy, youngest child, and says, Mother, we want you home. We miss you. We need you. And that mother shakes her head negatively and refuses to return home. Now, I know something about this because I counsel
with people who rear their children alone. I could squeeze the tears out of this coat I have on this morning. The tears that have gone into these, on these shoulders of precious people who went through exactly what Hosea went through. There are men in this room this morning. Men right here in this room this morning. We're good men. Love God. Love the Bible. Serve God. Soul winners. Doing the best they can. But have been deserted. And children in this room this morning whose mothers have left, gone away in desertion. Days become weeks. Weeks become months. Months become years. Years become decades. Decades become several. Kids are grown now. Jezreel's a grown man, has his own family. Has given some grandchildren to Hosea, the old father, who's been now separated from his wife of his youth for all these years. Loruhamah is grown, has a family of her own. Loami is grown, has a family of his own. And the old man has lived now alone for many years, Hosea. It's been years since he's seen Gomer. His brow is furrowed that once was smooth. His shoulders that once were erect are now stooped, and his hands that once were steady are now palsied. His feet that once walked swiftly and surely now walk unsurely and carefully. One day, Hosea, still loving Gomer, but never having seen her for years and years and years, the old man can't work anymore. He goes down with all the rest of the old men and sits around the city square. He's spitting and whittling. Is he playing checkers? I don't know. He's sitting around the city square. And all of a sudden, somebody announces there's going to be an auction. Some common slaves will be auctioned. The highest bidder can take them to his own place and make slaves and servants of them, and they will obey his very command. The auctioneer stands up and he begins to auction off common slaves. Who is it? Young lady may be auctioned off as a prostitute. Who is it? A young man auctioned off as a beast of burden. Who is it? One after the other. This one goes to the highest bidder, and this one goes to the highest bidder. Hosea, what's he doing? Playing checkers? I don't know. What's he doing? Leaning up against a tree, watching? I don't know. But somehow he's there at the city square when this auction is taking place. Toward the end of the auction, the auctioneer, I think, said something like this. All the good slaves are gone. We do have an old bedraggled lady. She's not worth much. She probably could clean a house some. Maybe she could wash some dishes. Maybe she could cook a little bit, but she couldn't do much work. That's all we have left in case anybody wants her. I imagine that the men hooted a bit, made a little fun of the old bedraggled lady standing up there beside the auctioneer. Hosea hears the auctioneer as he begins to ask for bids. And all of a sudden, he says, I've seen that woman. I know her. And the auctioneer begins to take bids. We'll bid, and somebody glibly makes a bid. A little bid. Just a penury bid. And Hosea said, that's Gomer. That's Gomer. Hosea says, I'll bid so much. Somebody else raised the bid. I'll bid more. Somebody else raised the bid. I'll bid more. Somebody raised the bid. I'll bid more. Hosea says, you may as well quit bidding. I'm going to get her. That's Gomer. And finally, the auctioneer says, sold to the old man back in the back. The old man walks up and Gomer says, I won't go with you. I don't want to be your slave. And Hosea says, you don't know who I am. She says, who are you? He says, I'm Hosea. She said, you wouldn't want me. He said, what do you mean I wouldn't want you? I love you. I've loved you all these years. But my body's been given to hundreds of men. I don't care. I love you. But I've been immoral all these years and gone from prostitute house to prostitute. I don't care. I love you. I want you back. But I left the children. seems to say, that's as close as I can come to telling you how much I love you. And he says, I love you freely. He sums it up with that one statement, I love you freely. Think of it. She leaves her husband, but he says, I still love you. She deserts the children, but God says, I still love you. She becomes a harlot, but God says, I still love you. She becomes a prostitute, but God says, I still love you. She is bought by a man, and God says, I still love you. She's old. She's unattractive. She's not worth anything. What is God saying? God is saying, you can't get too deep to go deeper than my love. God's love goes deeper than your sin. And this poor, bedraggled old woman who's known every sin that a woman can know and taken every bit of decency a woman can take and stamped it under her feet. God says, I still love you. He's telling us his love needs no return. He's telling us his love needs no acceptance. He's telling us his love needs no response. He's telling us his love needs no encouragement. He's telling us his love needs no worthiness. He's telling us his love needs no appreciation. God doesn't love you because of what you are. God loves you because of what God is. He loves you because he loves you. God takes this beautiful little illustration about a man whose wife has wasted her life all these years, and about a man whose wife has sold her body to this man, and this man, and this man, and this man, and how a wife who's deserted her children, and how the old man says, not only will I take you back, but I'll buy you back. God is telling us that though we've gone deep into sin, he went to the auction block of Calvary, and the devil said, I'll bid happiness and joy. And God said, I'll bid my son. And the devil said, I'll bid thrills and excitement. And God said, I'll bid my son. And the devil said, I'll bid thrills and money. And the devil said, Jesus said, I'll bid my son. And the devil said, I'll bid pleasure and fame. And Jesus, God said, I'll bid my son. And the great judge of the universe said, sold to the highest bidder. And God bought us back. Why? Because we're lovely? No. Because we deserve it? No. Because of our attractiveness? No. God bought us back because of who God is. God loves us. God loves us. You do not love him today. He loves you. If you feel hatred for him today, he loves you. If you do not believe he exists today, he loves you. If you don't want his love, he loves you. If you don't care if he loves you or not, he loves you. If you don't receive it, he loves you. If you don't appreciate it, he loves you. If you don't delight in it, he loves you. If you're displeased about it, he loves you. If you never desire it, he loves you. If you never say thank you, he loves you. Listen, God even loves Madeline Murray O'Hare. And so it doesn't matter how far you've gone, wayward one, God loves you today. It doesn't matter how intricate the involvements of life have become to you, God loves you today. Can you imagine God loving this old bedraggled harlot and whoremonger? Can you imagine God loving this deserter of her children? Can you imagine God loving this seller of her body? This prostitute of evil? Can you imagine it? He loved Mary Magdalene, who was a fallen woman. He loved the soldiers who had made the fresh wounds in his hands and feet. He loved Peter, who was denying that he was one of them. He loved Judas Iscariot, whose kiss of betrayal had been dastardly placed upon the face of our lovely Lord. He loved the woman in the act of adultery, caught in the very act. He loved Rahab the harlot. He loved Matthew and Zacchaeus, who made their living as parasites on the living of others, starving wives and children that they might increase and enlarge their coffers. Loved the thief on the cross who had nothing to offer but faith. He loved David, who had taken Bathsheba and killed Uriah. He loved Abraham, who had gone and given his seed for the conception of an illegitimate child, an illegitimate race. He loved Lot, who went to Sodom and who committed incest with his own daughters, and from whom came two wicked races, the Moabites and the Ammonites. He loved Ishmael, the illegitimate child. I think about that. I think about that little lady that came to me one day. And she said, Pastor, she said, does God love me? And I said, why do you ask that? Of course He does. She said, you don't understand, Pastor. She said, my mother wasn't married. And my mother was a young lady. She got pregnant with me. And she tried to kill me. She said, my mother gave birth to me and took me out in a haystack and put my little body, just a few hours old, in a haystack to suffocate me, tried to kill me. And she said, Pastor, somebody happened to come by and heard my cry coming in the haystack. And she said, they took me to their home and reared me. I never felt normal. I never felt like anybody else. My mama didn't want me. I don't even know who she is. I said, oh, yes, God loves you. And that day she received the love of Christ and became a child of God. Strange thing happened. We found her mother. And I had the joy of bringing that mother who tried to kill that baby and her married daughter back together. And I had the privilege of leading that mother to Jesus Christ and baptizing both the mother and the daughter in beautiful believer's baptism. What am I saying? I'm saying it doesn't matter. God loves everybody in this room today. But wait a minute. Hold it. Wait a minute. Did you know what Jesus said? As I have loved you, so ought ye to love one another. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Pharisee, stomping your feet on somebody who's made a mistake? Did you hear that? The kind of love that Hosea had for Gomer, which is only a fraction of the kind of love that God has for you and me. That same kind of love we're supposed to have for each other. That means we're supposed to love the fallen ones. We're supposed to love the Gomers and the Mary Magdalenes and the Rahabs and the Judas Iscariots and the Lots of this old depraved world. I close with this. 24 years ago today, about an hour ago, 24 years ago, I walked in the pulpit of this church for the first time. I've made more mistakes than I could count for in another 24 years. I've made more blunders than I could ever tell you. Not one has been purposely. All have been sincere efforts to do right. But I have been an example of imperfection. An example of weakness often. An example of frailty sometimes. But I want to tell you something. There's one place you haven't been shortchanged. And that's in a little four-letter word. L-O-V-E. God knows I've tried. I cannot do it because I'm bound by these fetters of flesh. And I cannot do it because I'm handicapped by the handcuffs of humanity. My goal for 24 years has been to love you with the same love as near as possible that Christ loves me. And here in this old septic tank of sin called the Calumet Region, this old cesspool of iniquity called Chicago, God has raised up this mighty church. What for? To heal the brokenhearted. to bind up that which has been broken, to lift up that which has been fallen. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken can vibrate once more. Two things that I'm through. One is, God loves you.
How deep you've gone, God loves you. How far you've gone from Him, God loves you. You can't go beyond the love of God. You can't go so deep, but what is there? You can't go so high, but what is there? You can't go so far, what is there? God loves you. He loves you.
And secondly, with that same love that was pictured and typified by Hosea, you and I are supposed to love each other. Our Heavenly Father,